I want to invite you to follow along as read our Old Testament lesson this morning, reading Psalm 29, and you'll find that on page 504 of the Pew Bibles. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of His name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon, and He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare, and in His temple all say, Glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever. May the Lord give strength to His people. May the Lord bless His people with peace. Now I want to take a moment as we begin, and you all are going to help me out a bit with this sermon. We're going to do a quick experiment, and it's pretty painless. We're going to take 1 minute to pray. That's it. I just want to take 1 minute. We're going to have silent prayer. You pray however you want, whatever you want to pray about, and then we're going to unpack that a little bit. So let's just take a moment, and I'll watch the time. You don't have to worry about it. This is 1 minute for you to pray whatever you want to pray. Let us pray. Lord, hear our prayers. Amen. Now, we're going to do a brief poll. I'm just curious. I don't need to know specifics, but I'm going to ask some things, and by a show of hands, I want to see what we were praying about. How many folks were praying for someone they were concerned about? Anyone praying for folks they were concerned about? Quite a few of us. A lot up in the balcony, too. How about anyone pray about something that was personal, something you need right now? Okay? Now, you don't have to tell me what you prayed, but what about confession? Was anyone confessing something or expressing regret? Got quite a few. How about, how many of you were giving thanks? Just giving thanks. I see a lot of you throwing, you were praying fast because I've seen your hand up several times on these. Last one, how many of you were doing some prayers that were adoration or just sort of complimenting God, just praising God? Few. That's probably the least amount, though, of hands that I saw go up. And I'm not real surprised. I saw fewer hands go up on that last category than any category. And that strikes me because I think we as Presbyterians sort of have a reputation of being God's frozen chosen. Have you ever heard that term? God's frozen chosen? And I think some of it has to do with our hesitancy to praise God and spend a lot of time in just praising God, just adoring God for who God is. And this morning, I want us to focus on that because I think one of the keys to really unlocking our relationship with God and bringing it to greater depths is moving into greater praise of God. And this morning, I want us to look at both the benefits of spending more time in praise and some principles about how do we do that? How do I transform my life of prayer so it has a stronger element of praise in it? And I'm doing that this morning because I was really moved by our psalm. Our psalm is a tremendous psalm of nothing but praise. And I did a little research on that psalm, and I found out that words nearly identical to this psalm appear in two other places. One is another psalm, Psalm 96. It's very, very similar. It starts out with this, it has within it the same three verses that begin Psalm 29. And then it goes on and it talks a lot about creation and creation praising God. And in this one, we have images of the voice of God and its impact on creation. The other place where I found similar words and where I'm convinced both of these are rooted in was in 1 Chronicles. And in 1 Chronicles, David, who is now king at this point in Chronicles, he has conquered the Philistines. They have essentially taken Jerusalem, and David becomes established in Jerusalem. He has the Ark of the Covenant in a huge procession brought into Jerusalem, and he establishes a number of folks who their job is to praise God regularly, morning and evening, and he writes this psalm. He writes a song of praise, and it appears in 1 Chronicles. And the words in this psalm almost exactly mirror the words in that song that they sung when they brought the Ark of Covenant into Jerusalem. And it's exactly word for word words that are in Psalm 96. And it doesn't surprise me that we find this incredible spirit of praise coming out of the Psalms. Because if we stop and think about David, David was, what's he known as? A man after God's own heart. We're told in 1 Samuel and in Acts that David was a man after God's own heart. And I started thinking about that, and I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful to be someone that God looks at and says, that's a person after my own heart. And that's an amazing thing to reach for, to become a person that God would look at and say, that's a person who's after my own heart and would do anything I would ask them to do. Well, how do we aspire to be that person? Well, what I'm here to tell you this morning is the foundation of that is laid in praise. We become that person first and foremost by learning to be people who are drawn to tremendous praise. If your relationship with God is something where you know God exists, but God seems kind of just a little bit beyond arm's reach or just a concept to you, I have a feeling that if you infuse your life of prayer with some praise, you'll see that change. And one of the first things I want to lift up to you before I give you three principles for laying that foundation are three distinct benefits. And the first one I'm already alluding to. The first benefit of praise, I think, that you'll experience is intimacy with God, a growing, deepening intimacy with God. There's something about trying to lift up God's name, lift up words to God that in a way that just simply adores God. Almost like you're saying, God, I just want to give you a compliment this morning. And you just start laying on the compliments to God, saying, God, this is what I love about you. I love the fact that whenever I need to go to you, I know you're going to be there. I love the fact that you're an incredible creator, that you can make something as majestic as a mountain and craft something as simple as a dewdrop on the edge of a petal of a flower. That you are able to do those things. And take time and just enter into that sort of time of just extolling God for who God is. When you do that, when you grope for those words and you try to find your finest expressions of your love for God, an intimacy begins to emerge between you and the Lord. And God stops being just a concept or just an idea or something that's nice to think about and becomes someone you're living with moment by moment in your life. The second benefit of praise that you'll reap, and I think it's a byproduct of the intimacy, is peace. As you grow almost tangibly closer to God through praise, you start to feel the presence of God almost tangibly. You start to see God guiding and leading and nudging events around you because you're close to Him and you know He's there. Even in the midst of calamity or strife, when life's storms are buffeting against you, the intimacy you get out of praise will transform that experience. It's the difference between being out in the middle of a storm-tossed ocean trying to cling to a life preserver, or being out in that same storm-tossed ocean and you're on an ocean liner looking out through a portal hole, dry, warm, and safe inside. Same storm, you still get storms. Just because you start praising God doesn't mean the storms stop. But you weather them very, very differently because you feel the safety and security of being in the palm of the Lord. So peace is one of the benefits you'll reap. The third benefit you'll find as you build a foundation of praise is simply a greater joy in living. Just in day-to-day living, you experience a greater depth of joy. I think why that happens is, as you establish a practice of praising God passionately, whether you realize it or not, you're nurturing your ability to adore in general. As you take time to figure out, how am I going to adore God? How am I going to find words to capture my love and my passion for God? You're actually sort of flexing your adoration muscle and building it up. And you'll find that it will not stay confined to your time of prayer with God. And you'll find yourself finding pleasure and adoration in simple things of life that before you didn't. The little things, like the way a child laughs, or the beauty of a tree as it's changing colors in the fall. Little simple things like that, you'll be awestruck by them. Things that you would have just walked by before. So there's a joy that comes into your life because the world around you, it doesn't look the same. It's sharper. It has a clarity like you have never seen it before. It's almost like you've been looking at the world through some sort of frost-covered window. And that warmth of adoration thaws that frost, and suddenly you can see clearly. You'll have a nagging sense when that happens that it's an old familiar feeling. You'll feel almost as if, I've been here before. There was a time when the world was like this. It had this sharpness and clarity. And I think what you'll find, if you sit with that long enough, you'll know where that memory comes from, because it truly is a memory. It's a memory from when you were a little child and the world was still full of wonder and mystery. And everything grabbed you as fascinating. And somehow that gets stomped out of us as we grow up. Little kids, I can take Matthew somewhere and everywhere we go is an adventure. Because he is still full of questions and wonder and mystery about everything. Small children marvel at a stick or a beetle or a tree or a leaf or a cloud. They marvel at rain puddles and mud pies and little things like that. Because they haven't grown up enough to start stripping away the mystery and judging those things and discarding them as valueless. And I have three biblical principles I want you to hear on this. The first one is simply this. To grow in praise of God, you need to praise frequently. Frequently. And that struck me as I studied the word praise throughout Scripture. I did a word search on it. Pops up a gazillion times. And as I went through, I kept running into phrases like this. Here in Psalm 145, verse 2. Every day I will praise you and praise your name forever and ever. Psalm 119. Seven times a day I praise you for your righteous ordinances. Psalm 119 again. At midnight, I rise to praise you. Anybody get up at midnight this week to praise God? I didn't get up, but I was probably still awake praising God one day this week at midnight. At midnight, I rise to praise you. Psalm 71, my mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. And lastly, Psalm 113, from the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. We praise God frequently. And I'll give you a couple tips on how to do that. My first one is this. Decide and commit to, whenever I pray, I'm always going to start with at least a few words of praise. It's that simple. Whenever you pray, always start with praise. I don't care if it's just, oh God, you're awesome. Now I got to tell you all this stuff I'm worried about. But start out with praise. And you'll find that at first you kind of grope for words. You'll be like, boy, I don't even know what to say. If I had stopped and said, I want you to praise God for one full minute, I bet that there are some of us who after 30 seconds would have been fumbling for words. But what you'll find is, as you flex that praise muscle and it grows, pretty soon it won't be a matter of trying to find words to fill the time. You'll be wanting time so you can say more words. It'll actually flip-flop on you. So start every prayer with praise. Now, if you lack the words, then go to Scripture and just read some psalms out loud, psalms of praise. And if you're saying, I don't know which ones to begin with, I'll tell you five right now. The last five psalms are fantastic praise psalms. So if you don't have words, now you don't have an excuse. I just gave you words. Go to the last five psalms and just read those and let those sink in. And you may feel a little weird with, like, can I read a prayer to God and it be praise? Well, we sing hymns to God that we're reading, and that's praise. So read those psalms and you'll build a praise vocabulary. So praise frequently. The second principle is this, and in a way I'm preaching to the choir, because the second principle is praise corporately. I was struck also, as I went through and studied praise, to find that many references in Scripture are corporate references. What I mean by that, let me give you a couple examples. Psalm 109 says, I will praise him in the midst of the throng. Or this one, praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright. Or I heard run into the phrase, in the congregation, or in the sanctuary, or in his courts. Those were all phrases that I kept running across in the Psalms when they spoke about praising God. We need to praise God not just alone, but together, exuberantly, where we gather with other people and we just get excited about who God is and stop being frozen chosen and loosen up a little bit and be happy and excited about who God is. We need that, especially in our culture today. One of the sicknesses of our culture today is that we have so privatized our faith. Faith is such a personal thing that it's almost stopped being a corporate thing. And God never meant us to be little islands of faith. We're meant to live and rejoice in community. My last one is this. Praise God musically. Out of roughly 230 verses that have the word praise in them, approximately 70 of those associated praise with singing or playing instruments. Now think about that. About 230 verses, 70, almost one-third of those verses on praise were associated with praising God musically. Now I'll say this. Many of you are sitting there saying, but I can't sing. I cannot sing. It's okay. I'll just tell you, get over that. Forgive yourself. Okay, you can't sing, but it's still not an excuse to praise God musically. If anything else, take comfort in Psalm 100. It begins, make a joyful noise. And I'll bet all of you can at least qualify as noise when you lift something up. You can at least make noise. All I ask is you work on it being joyful, okay? Joyful noise. Once again, maybe you are at a loss for words to sing, to lift up music. There's a couple things you can do on that. Start listening to Christian music in your daily life. There is Christian music of every variety and style you can think of. In fact, there is Christian music out there that I would bring in here you wouldn't even think of as music, but it is out there. So there is every style available, and some of it is tremendous. And you can walk in anywhere now and get it. You can get Christian music at Books A Million. You can get Christian music in the mall. You can get Christian music in Walmart. 10 years ago, that was not the case. If you wanted Christian music, you had to go to a Christian bookstore, and there would be a little rack of about a handful of artists. And now there are dozens of them. So get some Christian music. Start listening to it. Listen to it on the radio. Listen to it in your car. Listen to it in your home. And one of the things that's going to happen is it's going to get stuck in your head. How many of you have been through the experience of you hear some little ditty, and then you cannot get it out of your brain all day long? I got a tape for Christmas of the soundtrack to Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Real quirky kind of movie with a lot of music from the 30s. There's a song in there called I'm in the Jailhouse Now. Okay? I got that thing stuck in my head for 2 days. I'm in the jailhouse now. And that's going through my head for 2 days straight. I finally squashed it by doing what I'm telling you to do. I started singing one of my favorite Christian songs, You Are My All in All. I'm walking around the house singing, You Are My All in All. And I'm going on and on, trying to get, I'm in the jailhouse now, out of my head. Okay? And it worked. It finally worked. Instead of being in the jailhouse, I was praising God. And recognizing God as my all in all. But think of the effect of that if you get that sort of thing resounding in your head and your being on a daily basis, hour after hour after hour. It's going to brainwash you. Now, I said brainwash. Everybody goes, I don't want to be brainwashed. Brainwashed is not a bad thing. Do you want a dirty mind? That's the alternative. Have a clean mind. Get it washed by a little bit of scripture that's reverbing in your head over and over again. Well, those are my three principles for you, and I know they're all biblically grounded because I found them all over the Psalms. If you want that intimacy, if you want that peace, if you want that joy, then praise frequently, praise musically, and what was the third one? I'm testing you. Corporately. Musically, corporately, frequently. And I'll look forward to the blessings that occur in your life if you'll take up that challenge. And I hope what will happen is, one day, after having done that for a long time, you'll face the Lord, and when you face Him, He'll look at you and say, now you were a person who was after my very own heart. Welcome home, good and faithful servant. Amen.